chance to win this with a field goal.
Give me time.
Wait, there's a timeout. They're gonna ice the kicker. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
The snap is good. Threads are up.
It's time to ice the kicker. Boom.
Boom.
Thank you, Charlie. We're back, aren't we, mate?
We're back. We've missed it. We've missed a few weeks. There's been lots going on in the NFL. The draft. Oh, lots of news. But more importantly, we've had some time away. But yes, Ice the Kicker is back.
Indeed. And Charlie, it's not just the distance that's really hampering us today. I'm all the way in New Zealand. I'm technically upside down. And you're back in England with jet lag from just being in LA. And I think people want to know, and we posted it, about the new the Raiders stadium. It looks incredible. You've had an amazing time.
I have, mate. Yeah, was invited over there. You know, Raiders front office. Mayock sent me out there. Updates on the stadium. I said it's going well, Mike. You know, just let John get that team in place. Free first round picks. We need the team to be popping off in Vegas. The Las Vegas Raiders. It's looking good. The stadium is going to be something special, I tell you. And the fans out there, they're excited for it to it's really taking shape. They're really excited for that team to arrive in Vegas. So I'm looking forward to for us to get out there and ice the kicker. Maybe even next year. They've got the draft there next year. It's all going off in Vegas. So ice the kicker will be giving you more.
Ooh, I like the way you've teased that, Charlie. Well, listen, this, of course, is the 100th season in the NFL. Now, I will say this. Thank you very much for all the tweets that we've been receiving. We're both on Instagram and on Twitter, Ice the Kicker Pod. Now, there has been a few cuts being made. The NFL has been trying to save money, $20 million, I believe. So that means a couple of shows have gone. We've been away. We've been receiving tweets saying, guys, you know, is it your show that's been cut? And I can say now happily that because people have said if it isn't, can your show be cut? but no, Ice the Kicker is the show staying. We are losing mic'd up. That's a good thing for us though, Charlie, isn't it? That we get to continue doing this show.
We get to continue. We haven't been iced just yet. We're going from strength to strength. A lot of people were like, what? Mike Tupp is going, get rid of that Ice the Kicker podcast from the UK. Useless. But no, we've been revived. We're allowed. We're getting another series. We're getting some more snaps. And we're going stronger.
Oh, we are indeed. Now, listen, thank you so much for joining us this week, because we have got a massive interview to share with you. We've been sitting on it for a while, and we're so excited that we get to put it out into the world right now. It's a real treat. We were speaking to the long snapper from the Houston Texans, Mr. John Weeks. Do not fast forward just yet, because we want to bring you up to speed with everything that's been going on, a bit of the sort of headlines, if you will, before we get to that interview. But such a great opportunity for us to have someone like that on the show, Charlie.
Massive, not only because John is an incredible player. He's got something like 146 consecutive starts in the NFL, which is an incredible achievement. But it's a team that a lot of people are fond of, the Houston Texans, very familiar with them from their time on Hard Knocks. But not only that, they are one of three remaining teams who are yet to visit the UK, but not no more. They are coming over to London this coming season, and they will be playing the Jags in a divisional rival game. John's very excited about that. We're very excited to have the Texans over and to hear John. And it's a brilliant insight that he gives us. And that interview will be coming up later. But we were very lucky to have him. And what a way to come back with a Houston Texans player. Very exciting stuff.
I'm enjoying it. I am a little bit dizzy now because I'm upside down in New Zealand. I don't even know what time it is back where you are, Charlie. But we've made this happen. Interview is on the way. All right. So normally what we do on a podcast is have the big headlines before we have a little catch up. Because we haven't actually chatted since the draft, Charlie. But the big headlines, obviously at the moment, the one and only Mr. Russell Wilson signs that contract. And that means the Seahawks can rest easy at night knowing that their main G is going to be slinging that pigskin from behind. So that's not the only news. But what do you make of that? Russell Wilson, he signed the big bucks, but he deserves it, right?
he does deserve it. And I like what you did that. You said the Seahawks fans can sleep easy at night. And the way Russell Wilson announced this deal, he was in bed with Ciara and he was like, we got a deal, baby. It was very weird. Who knows what they was up to? You know, this is a pre-Watershed podcast, I'll have you know. So we won't speculate. Yeah. We do with some NFL news, but quite bizarre there. But Russell Wilson, the fan should be happy. I'm happy. I'm not a Seahawks fan. I love Russell Wilson, what he brings. His mobility, he's a dual threat, and he hasn't missed a game. And every year he seems to get better. He's really taken those Seahawks on his back, and he is the new leader of that team. They come from the Legion of Boom. And strength to strength for the Seahawks. Some real big off-season moves. And not only that, we hear potentially that the Seahawks could be making another big off-season move. They could have just acquired Ziggy Ansah, although it's not officially completed yet. Apparently the Bills still believe they have a chance, but Ziggy Ansah in that building, they needed to replace Frank Clark, who has moved over to the Chiefs, who also replaced Dee Ford. But Russell Wilson, you're going to know more. The 49ers, you're a fan of them. You said to me, you're fearful.
I don't want to talk about it, Charlie. Charlie, I don't want to. Charlie is indicating the fact that I did say that the Seahawks, I'm worried about. They're just going from strength to strength. And obviously acquiring in the first round pick another defensive end. So they're looking, I think, very strong. And I'd be very worried in that division about those Seahawks, because they're just impressed. And Charlie mentioned it on a previous episode, didn't you, about how good Russell Wilson is. And he knows how to protect the football. He knows how to make that offense thrive. What I will say about them, though, they have lost. Potentially, it hasn't been announced officially yet, Doug Baldwin will be leaving, but they have taken on board, as people know from the draft, DK Metcalf, who was unbelievable as a physical specimen. When it comes to cones and drills, maybe not so agile, but they did a great job in terms of Pete Carroll getting the man that they wanted, though, with the wide receiver, but not a like-for-like replacement, though, Charlie.
Not, but the Seahawks done well in the draft, and John Snyder and his team especially. They came into the draft with four draft picks, which was very low. Not enough to restock that roster and rebuild that depth at key positions, which is what they needed. And then obviously there was the whole first round trade, and they managed to get more picks, and that's exactly what they needed. A team that was looking to trade down, they did with Green Bay. They have that kind of connection with Green Bay. They done that last year when Green Bay then traded back up to get Jair Alexander. So there's been a lot of history between the two, especially as John Snyder comes from Green Bay, used to work there previously. But yeah, very exciting times for Seahawks. And I like what they did there. A lot of people saying, you know, DK Metcalf, who you just mentioned, physical, specimen, cut like Adonis, you know, the man is ripped, but then does have some agility concerns. But that damn field, and we know Russell Wilson can really bomb it out. And, you know, he didn't go in the first round, DK Metcalf. Some people were predicting really high. Some people said because of those frailties at the combine, wouldn't go in the first round. Whatever way you look at it, if this works, at the end of the second, they got him. They managed to steal him at the second. Could be a great pickup, and it could work out. And he's got the physicality to do it. So I'm very excited about that. And they always seem to draft well in the middle round, Seattle. They know what they're doing there. And traditionally, that is where you find gems, you know, those players that have just fallen under, and where other teams have started reaching for other players. And we know the players that can come in the middle round. So Seattle, after getting those picks, could be dangerous.
Yeah, and I just want to state now, that's enough talking about the Seahawks, in my humble opinion. But you know who you are, Hawks fans, and it's going to be an exciting season for you. Talking of quarterbacks, Charlie, there's a guy that wants to hopefully make it to be the fifth quarterback with 30 million plus per season. That's the one and only Mr. Dak Prescott. Potentially they're discussing contracts over at Dallas. A fantastic quarterback. Got a little stat for you, and it's kind of news as well. He's got the second most quarterback wins with 32 in the NFL since 2016, behind Tom Brady. Most game winning drives in the NFL since 2016 with 14. And he has got an incredible record against the NFC East since 2016, 13 wins, 5 losses, and it's 10-2 in the last two seasons. Charlie, question to you, with a little slice of news, would you give him the 30 million plus?
Well, it's a tough question, because I think that the stat that really plays to me is the game-winning drives. You know, this is key in any games, you know. like any sport, the NFL is a results-based business, and every fan and every franchise wants W's in the column, no L's. And when your backs are against the wall, we're going to turn to the quarterback. We say it's the most important position in all of sports. And if it's the difference between, you know, not being able to drag your team into even field goal position, just that 3 points, and you can really turn it into an 8-8 team, to a 10-6 team. And if your quarterback's getting those game-winning drives, you want to hold on to him. And as we know, franchise quarterbacks aren't found on the street. They don't just come round every corner. You know, they're few and far between, and you need to hold on to them. So did he deserve it from that standpoint? Yes. And look at the market. The market is dictating that. The other quarterbacks around him, that's the way the market goes. Quarterbacks, are they overpaid? It's what it is, you know, the inflation of the market. So to hold on to one, to have one, you have to pay him the money that everyone else is on. So if we were saying, is he worth 30 million? When you just look at that number and that figure alone, the answer maybe is no. But when you say, well, we have to pay quarterbacks this, any other quarterback would have to give him, and it's going to be in and around that mark, do we want to take a chance on drafting someone else or risk the case of letting him go? The answer would be no. So if that's what it costs to keep him, then I'm all for it. And I'm actually a fan of Dak, and I like the way he sort of does lead the team. And he's one of those quarterbacks, the will, the desire, the effort to win, the running in to finish the yardage himself. But The problem I think Dallas Cowboys fans have, and my question to you is, they have a whole host of names to pay. They just paid Lawrence, Ezekiel Elliott's coming up for a contract. Apparently Amari Cooper's demands are ridiculously sky high. And now people are saying, the Raiders done great business to not only get rid of him, but get a first of him, because people should have checked what kind of contract Cooper wanted in the first place. Do the Cowboys have the room and the capacity to pay them all? This will be the time. And as we always say, with that salary cap, fitting in those pieces is like a puzzle. Every piece matters. Can you all fit it in, those small cogs, to make that big wheel work? I'm not so sure.
It is interesting. It makes some fantastic points there, Charlie. I kind of agree with you. There was a great tweet I did see. It said, this is a list for you guys, a list of every quarterback in the NFL history with multiple seasons of 20 or more touchdown passes and fewer than 10 interceptions by the age of 25. On that list is only one person, and that is the one and only Mr. Dak Prescott. Make what you will of that. But yeah, Charlie, you make an amazing point there, really, of like, you can't pay everybody in the building. And as you said, they did give up that first round pick. I will mention the fact that we wanted to talk about the draft a little bit, talk about a team that we feel drafted best, worst, and our surprise team for some of their selections. That'll be in just a second. We'll have that. Charlie, I'm talking to quarterbacks. Josh Rosen, is that kind of the biggest quarterback talking point of the draft in terms of a team who's going to be rebuilding, getting in someone who's a talented quarterback that has NFL experience?
Massive. For me, this is the story of the draft, regardless of what players went and how teams fared. This was the one we waited on. This was where the draft was being spoken on. And you know, of course, it's always going to be that number one pick. But were the Cardinals taking Kyler Murray? We've dedicated time in pods just over this whole article. Was it all smoke, and were they really going to keep Josh Rosen, and this whole thing was a lie, and they don't actually want Kyler, they want someone to come up? They only recently just traded up to get Josh Rosen, someone who I'm really high on, and I really think he can be an NFL great for years to come. But they went with Kyler, massive story. They have two first-round quarterbacks in the building. They trade away Rosen to the Miami Dolphins for a second-round pick. Not even they couldn't even get back the first that they gave last year. And so, firstly, Miami gets a quarterback who I love, and I think he's going to do well. But they get him for only a second-round pick, could be their franchise quarterback. But not only do they get him on a second-round pick, they get him on the rookie contract for the next four years. So they're getting him cheap. And Arizona have already paid the first $10 million of that contract. This is win-win for Miami. It's very low risk, and it's very, very high reward. I love it. And I really want this to work out. And there's so many facets to it that we need to spend more time on it. But the fact that Rosen is now in a division where Darnold is, and they came through the same draft together, they played against each other. This could lead that division for years. And Josh Allen is also in that division with the Buffalo Bills, and they all come from the same draft. It's quite incredible. But I really wish good things for Josh Rosen, and I really hope that it works out at the Dolphins. And I love the moves they made in the draft, but it will be a first, another first head coach from him after having Steve Wilkes last year. So he's going from a first-time head coach and a new offensive coordinator. How will he fare there? He will have Ryan Fitzpatrick to sort of shore things up. But I just want it to go so well for him, and I think it will work out.
That's because you're a nice person, Charlie. You've got positivity. You like that. But he does go in from one sort of fire into another fire in a pan kind of situation, because there's obviously a lot of holes in the Dolphins. But I think they did an amazing job, and they've got a real steal there, because even if Josh Rosen doesn't make it and they tank next year and they get a first round pick and there's a quarterback in a draft they really, really like, then Josh Rosen will be a fantastic, cheap, backup quarterback. So well done to the Dolphins. But as you say, we will talk about that more in the future. And we may as well talk about it now then. The draft, 2019 draft, happening in Nashville, Tennessee. Apparently there's about 600,000 people in the streets watching. I know that I was watching a bit as well. Charlie, there's so much we could talk about, but I'd like from you the best team that drafted, worst team that drafted, and a surprise team from you. Let's start with the best then. Who was the best team in terms of the draft this year?
For me, on the night, that my best team, and kind of a semi-surprise package, although I will give you one, it has to be the Washington Redskins. A, because they potentially drafted the quarterback for their franchise, hopefully, that would lead them back to the glory days. And it's one that they believe was the best prospect. And secondly, loads of talk of them trading up, and they didn't have to. They stayed put at 15 and got him for a normal price. They didn't have to give away no picks. Great bit of staying power there by the Redskins. And why I'm saying they're a surprise package in a way is because everyone always says that Snyder and Allen at the helm at the Redskins don't know what they're doing. And they always get it wrong, and they were going to trade all the way your picks and get him away from front office. Brilliant bit of business. And then they managed to pick up Montez Sweat, who was predicted at some point to be not only a top 10 pick, but a top 8 pick. And then there was concerns over his medical history. He managed to fall to them. So they got potentially the quarterback of their first choice, and then a potential
bonus
stalwart of a pass rusher. Two brilliant first round picks, two brilliant bits of business by the Washington Redskins. And I really like that it was sort of a massive night for the NFC East. The Giants had 3 picks, the Washington Redskins come back and had 2. We know of the Cowboys, we're talking about them, and the Eagles only 1 year away from winning the Super Bowl, a massive division. And the Redskins are saying, you know what, we're not just here to make up the numbers.
Yeah, and the Eagles, you mentioned them, they bolstered running backs and wide receiver and the offensive line. Seeing good things. I can't believe this, Charlie. We've both picked the same team. We're 11,000 miles away. I couldn't agree more with you. Montez Sweat, fantastic trade back in to get him. Also, Bryce Love, running back. I like the look of him as well. And I think Redskins have done very well. You have to say, though, I think everyone's been saying it, the Patriots have had a fantastic draft. I think it was that they would be a close second for me, other than Redskins. All right then, surprise team for me. Or should we go worst? What do you reckon?
Whatever you think. I'll let you pick first, so it can look like I'm copying you this time.
All right, worst team for me. And I'm only. It's hard. It's so hard though, because the draft, it will, as we always say, we'll see what pans out. The worst team for me, the Bucks, and that is only purely, and I hope it works for them, the fact that they picked another kicker, Matt Gay, quite high in terms of picking a kicker, and this is obviously referring back to their old kicker Roberto, who stepped forward. I don't think they did well enough in terms of some of their picks defensively that they need to shore up with good old Bruce Arians there. And obviously they've just had the recent news about Jason Pierre-Paul, who's going to be out for the season. I hope he makes a full recovery. But for me, the Bucs, I was expecting a bit more. They did a fantastic first pick with White, the linebacker. Overall, worst team picking on the night for me was the Bucs.
Oh, controversial. I don't know how I feel about that. At the box, I like it. Well, the disappointing team for me, a tough one because it's all subjective. Teams pick players in the fourth round and then people are like, oh, the first round. And then they work out fantastic. You know, we're not GMs, we're not scouts, we're not front offices. But on paper, for me, the New York Giants, simply because they had three first round picks, rare to get two. And then the fact they had three in the first round, three premium players, three choices that you want them to really hit on, blue chip talent, elite talent. And Daniel Jones quite high at pick six, and then cornerback Baker and Dexter Lawrence. I hope they hit on all those picks, and you know, we know how big and storied the franchise is at NYG, but some strange choices there. Could have got players in other certain positions, but only time will tell how they graded these players. But seemed some strange choices at the time.
Yeah, and that's interesting, Charlie, because for my surprise team, I have chosen the Giants because I think every pick they make, everyone was like, okay, I see what you've... I don't understand it. Maybe there is a logic to this madness. Daniel Jones, that quarterback pick, I think he looked more surprised than anybody else. So they're the surprise team for me. What about you in terms of the surprising team?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because the Giants held something of a draft screening party. The fans were at the MetLife Stadium and a chorus of boos rang out. It's not great. I don't like to hear that or see that for Daniel Jones. He hasn't even played a snap yet and the fans were despising the pick. But you can understand the certain frustrations of the way it's being rung. But, you know, hopefully it works out and they have the heir apparent to Manning. My surprise pick of the night may be a little bit strange, but I'm going to go with the Jets. Now, strange because they picked number third, but arguably, and for me, they picked the best player in the draft, Quinnen Williams. And if you look at this, you know, I predicted maybe Quinnen Williams to go number one. The Jets got him at number three. And you could argue last year, I know the season that Baker had and how much I'm in love with him and what he's going to do. But at the time, Darnold in some quarters was ranked number one. And I think, again, Darnold's going to be another one to watch. Really come on strong at the start of the first season. I really think we're going to see that second year jump. You could argue that the Jets got the best player last year with a number three pick. They could have done it again with this year's number three pick. I really like what they're doing in that building and another piece to add to Jamal Adams and co over at the Jets defense.
Indeed. I like it. I like it a lot, Charlie. I will say this, though, and we haven't mentioned it because I actually, and I'm going to say this because, you know, I learn something new every year. I was unaware that Mr. Irrelevant is an actual pick. So you have your first selection in the draft and then they have the title for the last pick of the draft is called Mr. Irrelevant. I don't know. That's not a nickname you want. Caleb Wilson, tight end to the Arizona Cardinals. Best of luck to him. Let's see if he can match the heroics of a guy from last year called Trey Quinn at the Redskins who managed to get a touchdown. Charlie, we're getting close to the time.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
Mate, come on. Look, sometimes you know and other times you don't. And I have no shame in that, you know.
It's a shamble. It's a bit sad that they call it Mr. Irrelevant because then players get undrafted and he was relevant enough to be taken. But it adds spice, doesn't it, into that last pick. But as we know, undrafted free agents, just as important. And they're the real ones who are going to be making up those last roster spots, special teams, etc. And we got an interview just in a minute with ourselves, John Weeks, who went undrafted. So some real good players come from it.
Indeed. Charlie, any other headlines from you? Oh, actually, I've got one as I was mid asking the question. What do you make of your offensive lineman, David Bakhtiari, who absolutely chugged two pints during a Milwaukee Bucks game? I was watching a video and I thought of you immediately. You got to be impressed with that offensive line if they can chug two pints off.
World class. Man's elite. I mean, that's what I want from my O-line, yeah? I want chugging beer skills. I want low mobility. I just want them to be absolute units. And that guy, I mean, fear the deer. Go Bucks. But he's a legend. O-line legend.
Oh, perfect. Well, listen, Charlie, let's cut to the chase. We've updated everybody. We'll be having a podcast next week, a little bit more in depth. But in the meantime, Charlie, we have to get to this. The man is waiting himself. This is an absolute scoop for us. We're very excited to bring it to all of the ITK fans out there. Mr. John Weeks, an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you guys being flexible with the time. I'm sorry about that. So
don't be silly. You've got OTAs to contend with. We've just all we got to contend with is the London weather, so we're used to it.
Oh, all right.
Which you'll get to sample and test out, John. Are you excited about coming to London this year?
Yes, very excited. You know, ever since the NFL has been going over there, it's been something that I was hoping at least one year I'd be a part of. You know, fortunately, I got to experience the Mexico game out in Oakland on a Monday night, which was awesome. But I'm very much looking forward to coming there and playing a game at Wembley.
Well, we're very excited to have you, John. I mean, the Texans are one of three teams yet to come over. So we had to wait quite a while for you to come over. Was it something that yourself and the players were just really eager to get over, or can sometimes when you have a game that's so far abroad, does it become a little bit of a logistical nightmare, gets the players off their routine? Is it more of a hindrance than a pleasure?
No, I think it's a you know, it's an absolute pleasure to come over there and play in front of the fans, and you know, you always take every opportunity you get to do that. Obviously, with this being our first trip, it will be a little bit different when it comes to the scheduling aspect. But again, you know, we did the Mexico trip, so I don't think it'll be anything, you know, too crazy for the players to adjust to. You know, I've had the pleasure of talking to other specialists who have gone down there. They've loved it. They've had nothing but great things to say about it. So again, you know, I'm excited. I'm sure our guys are excited, and you know, it'll be a great game.
Do you feel, John? Now I've done my research on you, sir, because we are professional. You have a bulldog. Will it feel like this is your kind of second home because your dog is from, you know, the land of Britain?
Oh, the old bulldog, huh? No, he you know, we love that little guy, and he's a great pup, and again, man, I just, you know, we're very excited to get over there again. I'm blessed to be able to play a game that I love, and finally be able to go over there and play in London is going to be great.
John, I feel like we've done you a little bit of a disservice here because you caught us unawares. You joined the meeting and we haven't actually said that we're so glad officially to welcome John Weeks onto Ice the Kicker podcast. Thank you for coming over. But John, if we can officially start, where did it all begin for really for you? Was it something you dreamed of as a kid? Did you always want to be join the NFL ranks, or did you always want to be part of sports? When did you think, yeah, this is something I could really make a career out of?
You know, so for me, obviously, I've always had a passion and love for sports. It's you know, my parents basically put me in everything they could put me in, whatever was going on throughout any season. So I played all the major sports, and you know, I just fell in love with the game of football. I love the team aspect of it. I love that it's, again, the greatest team sport in professional sports, in my opinion. You know, all 11 guys have to be working towards the same goal for everything to take place. So I fell in love with the game. And, you know, it was a dream of mine to play in the NFL, but I'm also usually very realistic. I knew it was going to be a difficult journey to get there. And, you know, my journey was an interesting one and experienced some ups and downs, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm very fortunate to play the game that I love to play at the highest level with some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Indeed, John. You mentioned about the up and down to get into the NFL. An undrafted agent, a lot of people that are going through the 2019 draft who didn't get drafted, what was it like, and what have they got ahead of them in terms of getting into the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult. A lot of different aspects come into it. For me, it had everything to do with timing. You know, I'm at a position in the NFL where there's only one guy on the team per position. So there's only 32 of us in the league right now. And coming out of college, I was told I was good enough. But at the time, you know, a lot of teams had guys that they liked. So I was actually out of football for 2 years. And just kept working at it and working at it. And my time lined up. And I was able to break in with Houston, and I've been with Houston ever since. And, you know, I'm very fortunate.
Well, you say you're very fortunate, John, but I think the Houston, the Texans and the league, we're very fortunate to have you, because not only did you from after being undrafted, you're a Pro Bowl specialist. And not only that, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it 146 consecutive starts in the NFL, which is a Texans franchise record? That is a no small feat, John. How do you feel about this achievement?
Yeah, you know, I think for me in my position, that's an achievement I'm very proud of. You know, if I can say as a long snapper that I was able to go out there and be consistent and, you know, be there when my team needed me as many times as I possibly can, you know, I think that's all you can really ask for. And I've been very fortunate. I've avoided the major injuries and I've worked hard. And you know, I, like you said, I was fortunate enough to and hold the Texans consecutive games played record, a record that I think of most things I'm very proud of. And I hope to continue adding on to those games.
Now, John, I don't mean to change the seriousness of this interview in any way, shape or form. However, bearing in mind that ability that you've had to continually playing, do you feel like Madden is not reflecting your talents enough?
You checked up on the old Madden score, huh, guys? Come on, man. Now,
listen, I mean, Charlie and I play, but, you know, over here in the UK, we get a sense of the game more and understand it more. But, I mean, I just don't think it's fair. They're putting you down as a tight end and an overall rating of 41. Do you want us to put a word in, John?
Right. You know, if we need to, we definitely need to talk to the guys at Madden. I think it's by time, you know, that they start adding the long snapper position in there. You know, I know a lot of my fellow long snappers, not myself included, are listed at other positions, which unfairly gives us an overall rating. But, you know, just to look back and be able to say I'm in the game is pretty cool and something that, you know, one day I'll brag to my kids about.
I love that, John. It sounds like you said you and your fellow long snappers, like it was a personal private members club, and I'm absolutely desperate to join. I need private membership. I'm willing to pay, John.
All right. You know, we'll get together. I can try to give you a couple lessons and see if we can iron some stuff out and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, if you can make some exceptions, that would be great. But I did mention to you previously, John, how much the Texans, we really have a passion for them over here. Obviously, they was the feature of Hard Knocks a few years back, and that really took to the UK's hearts, and they obviously have some star players, and we've really watched them from afar, and now to get them over. But it just feels like this team is really trending in the right direction. You know, Deshaun Watson, he's back from his injury, looking great. JJ Watt's back to form, yourself, Clowney. It feels like this team really, it's sort of just peaking at the right time. Did you feel that in the locker room, the dressing room, like we've got something bubbling here, we need to capitalize now?
Yeah, I absolutely think we do. I think every guy in that locker room is, you know, we all work towards one goal and we all get along really well. We all watch out for each other, take care of each other. And I think a good locker room really definitely does help on Sundays, you know, that the guys care about each other enough to go to battle. You know, I think we have a special locker room, and that locker room's led by a bunch of superstars at their positions. Like you said, we got some of the best players to ever play their positions on our team. You know, so I think we're definitely in a good spot. But I also think it's something where every guy in that locker room knows, you know, that it's not easy. You got to come to work every day. You got to work your tails off. And that's what we're doing right now. You know, we're just with everyone else. We're getting through OTAs and we're having a great 2 weeks so far.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're having a great time, John. I'm looking at the AFC South. You've got the Colts there, the Titans, the Jags. Everyone in the NFL is obviously improving, trying to get that roster better and stronger. Out of those three teams, who are you most looking forward to playing this year?
You know, I think right now in the AFC South, it's an exciting time only because I think all four teams are so competitive. You know, I think if you line up us against any one of those three teams, you know, it's going to be a coin flip. All three teams are tough. All three teams have good quarterbacks, good defenses, good special teams play. So it's an exciting time to be a fan of the AFC South. You know, I think we just really enjoy going out there and competing against those guys. And you know, you want to play the best to position yourself to make a run deep in the playoffs and potentially at the Super Bowl. And there's no better way to do it than playing against the best at least two times a season. And we get to do that.
John, obviously we're called Ice the Kicker here, and we really want to get into a specialist's routine, kickers, long snappers, punters, and we touched upon it earlier. For you, 146 consecutive games, which still I can't really get my head around. That's clearly something you're so consistent and you're never taking your place for granted, or likely you're clearly always working at your craft. But can you give us a kind of insight into your daily routine? How just certain things you need to watch out for, pre-game superstitions, or, you know, I need to work on this. Do you watch for wind and stuff? What really goes into your game mindset?
Are we talking like a weekly preparation, or you want a game day preparation?
Both, whatever, just whatever you think's the best.
I got you. Yeah, so, you know, I'm a very detailed oriented person. I really look at the little things in what I do in my craft. So I'm always looking for ways to improve at what I'm doing, somehow to get better. For me, I always need to make sure, at least when it comes to long snapping, that my accuracy is on point. I'm a snapper that likes to watch a lot of tape. I like to watch what the other team's punt return team does. I like to watch, you know, at certain situations in games, whether a team's up or down, what kind of punt pressure they like to bring. If they bring punt pressure, kind of what they like to do. Are they a team that likes to loop? Are they a team that likes to throw a big guy in the A gap and put me one-on-one with them? So during the week, I'll watch a lot of tape. I'll break down a lot of opponents' game tape and just kind of try to get a feel for the team and what I'm going up against. And then on Saturdays, you know, as funny as it is, I don't really have any crazy superstitions. I actually, my goal is to stay as relaxed and calm as possible. You know, so where most guys are jamming out to their music, I like to listen to like stand-up comics just to kind of keep me loose. You know, as specialists, we always like to say that we don't want our heart rate to get too high. You know, we want to just kind of stay as even keel as possible. So my goal on Saturdays is just to trust all my preparation for the week, trust the film I've watched, trust what I did in practice. And then on Sundays, just kind of relax and let it go and know that I prepared during the week well enough to where Sundays is just the funnest part of the week.
Indeed. I believe I read that somewhere, John, about you listening to stand-up comedy. I mean, in part time, I'm actually a stand-up comic myself over here in London and the rest of the UK. So I was thinking, when you come over, if you need to add it into your preparation, we'll take you out to a comedy club in London, and that way you can unwind. Bring whoever you want, you know?
I love it. We'll do it. We'll figure out somehow to get it to work. Or, I mean, if you got a comedy routine up somewhere, I'll download it and I'll crank to it on Sunday.
I can't take that pressure, John, because if you have a bad snap, you blame it on me.
Don't worry about that, man. It won't happen.
All right. We'll make that happen. John, I was going to ask you, though, because our podcast is Ice the Kicker, that moment in the game where the opposition ice, that moment you have to retake the snap and you have to prepare and everything like that. From your point of view, what's it like when that happens?
To me, it's just, it's something that, you know, myself, Trevor, and Kaimi work together on so much that icing the kicker really doesn't do anything to us. It really doesn't, you know. I mean, I know every coach has their different philosophy on that, but just
speaking. Don't say that, John. That's what we've named our podcast. Sell it a bit better for the people.
Just, you know, speaking from my guys and my guys alone, I can't speak for the rest of the guys and how they feel, but you know, all three of us are very comfortable with each other. So in that kind of a situation, we're very comfortable with the situation.
And I mean, that's good to know, because as professionals, we want to hear that you're never out of that zone. You're never out of that mindset. And it's good to know that really sometimes that gamesmanship doesn't work. And talking of gamesmanship, I noticed this year in the pre-season friendlies, the Texans will be sharing training practices with the Green Bay Packers, who are quite well known in the last 15 years for not doing joint practices. But whether it's Green Bay or another team, is that something the players look forward to? Because you sort of, there's that intensity going up against another team. You want to get this right. And we know it's training pace, but we see the sparks fly. Is that something the players look forward to before the games?
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys have a good time with it. I think more than anything, it allows guys to get a lot of really good work in for the week leading up to the preseason game. You know, when you talk about the preseason games, you know, a lot of the starters, a lot of the big guys, you know, they won't get too many plays in the preseason. At least that's how some teams do it. And I think that the practices during the week are starting to look a lot more important because it's allowing those guys to get a lot of extra reps and going up against other guys and getting extra reps and not having to beat on each other. Just from a mental aspect is just nice. You know, I mean, the first week at camp, I think we beat up on each other for a week and then you get to go beat up on somebody else for a week. It just mentally, I think it's a good break. And it's definitely something I think we all enjoy. And as specialists, it's great to see how other specialists work. You know, you can kind of pick up on some of the mental stuff that some other guys do, or, you know, maybe there's something that you can incorporate into your routine that you haven't really thought about before, but, it's great to work with other teams.
And it's going to be good to beat up on those Packers, to try and, just so you know, John, Charlie is a Green Bay Packers fan. So I hope that, you know, you beat up on them quite hard.
Well, we all make mistakes, Charlie. It's okay.
John, I was going to ask, seeing how you prepare, you're a perfectionist, and obviously in the NFL, I don't know if you felt it last season, was that it seemed to be the kickers were the fall guys for a lot of games. For example, Cody Parkey and the Bears. And how do you sort of make sure that that doesn't affect your game in any way? And you might disagree. You might think that actually there wasn't a lot of stick for kickers last year. But how do you see it?
You know, I think this is it's a league that's based on production. It's an unfortunate circumstance that sometimes at the most important, crucial part of the game, that one player can get, can get kind of crushed like that when something happens, like what happened with Cody. But I think at the end of the day, I think Cody handled it with true professionalism and as a true pro. You know, but I think every player in this league understands that it's a performance-based league. You know, we all understand that we need to go out there and perform our job to the best of our abilities. And, you know, you get that it's a business, and that if you're not performing at your job, that they're going to go find someone who is. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I hope that neither one of my guys are ever in that position, but I have absolute 100% confidence in my guys that when the game's on the line and they need, you know, us to go hit a field goal, that we're going to go out there and hit it.
John, as we kind of near, we're on the final stretch, we're on the last nine holes, because I know you're a keen golfer, as we end this interview, but you are coming to London, and is there anything, we hear the players, you know, they're locked down, they're in the hotel, they can't get out, but the London trip is kind of a different road game, it's not your normal road game. Will you be able to get out and do things, and the players, and is this your first time to London, and will you use this as, well, we can kind of see the sights, maybe you might bring your family over, and what will that be like to you? What are the three things you're looking forward to, John? We can guide you in the right direction.
You know what? The problem with answering the question is I don't know the circumstances of the travel. You know, right. If it's a situation where we were to come over a week early, you know, I would be all for exploring London and checking out all the sites and doing all the fun stuff. But if it's something where, you know, we're flying in more towards the end of the week, so we're getting in Friday, you know, I'm 2 days away from a big game against a division rival. I'm going to be more focused in making sure I've done all my last minute preparation and that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, unfortunately, to answer your question, is that the trip will be based a lot on the arrival of when we get to London.
That's very true. And I should have thought of that first, John, but I'm just excited to have you and the Texans over it. You can sense it.
No, I mean, we're again, I know as a team, we're very excited to get over there. You know, we've heard nothing but great things about it. I really do hope it's something where maybe we get to come over a little bit earlier to really experience everything. You know, and if not, my wife loves to travel, and I can promise you we'll probably be making a trip soon.
Well, Wembley is crazy. The 90,000 fans and every jersey you'll see, but we love it over here. It's completely grown. You'll notice it, and it just 90,000 fans right on top of you. I hope that I'm right in saying this, but there's not many experiences quite like it. So I'm sure that it will be one to remember for you and the team.
Yes, it will be. It will be awesome. Again, we are very, very excited to get over there. You know, I know, I think a group of our staff actually went over there as recent as this week, and I've talked to them, and they're all very excited. Can't say enough good things about it. So a trip that we're definitely looking forward to making. Again, playing against a division rival, a good football team. It should be a great game, and we're excited to play in front of the fans.
Amazing stuff. Thank you so much, John. And we do look forward to you coming along to one of my comedy nights in London, or definitely keeping in touch and wishing you all the best for the rest of the season.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Well, there you have it, Charlie. So awesome to chat to the long snapper at the Houston Texans, the one and only Mr. John Weeks. What a nice bloke. I want to have a pint with him, potentially.
Really want to have a pint with him. Want to take him for some good fish and chips, get him over here. Just a lovely guy, you know, giving us 5 minutes, especially he's currently in OTAs, you know, and this is the time when he's wanting to be getting in condition, getting in shape, to give us the time, 5 minutes. Thank you to his team as well, everyone involved with John Weeks, the Texans and his management. Just a real nice guy. I'm just chuffed to talk to him.
Indeed. Charlie, I just remembered that we do have one other little bit of news, and it's kind of actually tinged with a bit of sadness, as I'm sure a lot of NFL fans here in the UK are finding out. Brilliant for anybody 16 to the ages of 18, because the NFL is growing the reputation of the game over here in the UK, and they are going to have an academy starting. This is huge news, and it's getting even bigger, and being able to obviously have an interview with the likes of John Weeks, it just shows everything's growing over here in the UK.
Massive. The community's growing all the time. You know, Sky produce figures that every year, the NFL viewing figures to take a leap and a jump year on year. It's now one of their most watched sports. Now we're getting the NFL Academy. And that's not to say, you know, there's already many a college, university teams already over here, loads of teams that play American football here. But the fact that the NFL are getting behind an academy, and the NFL UK, and it's linked, and we're going to have ambassadors. I know there's already university teams, but it's just the more the merrier. The more we can do, the better. And it's becoming a force over here, and it can only bring excitement.
Yeah, indeed. And I feel like if only I was a couple of years younger, Charlie, like yourself.
Decades.
Yeah, okay. Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. We don't close the show. We get someone, a guest each week. So if you do want to do it, you know what to do. Hit us up on our Twitter, which is Ice the Kicker Pod, or of course, we are on Instagram as well, under the same. But we've got someone incredibly special to close the show. So I'm going to stop chatting and rabbiting on, and I'm going to say goodbye from me, Charlie.
And it's goodbye from me.
Hey guys, my name is John Weeks, long snapper for the Houston Texans, and I have just been iced by the kicker.